This is Laura Dierdo with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Aaron Ballard, Director of Digital Health Services at Stanford Children's Health in California. Aaron, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me, Laura.
Before we dive into the questions, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure, no problem. So as Laura said, my name is Aaron Ballard. I'm the Director of Digital Health Services at Stanford Children's Health. I have a background in engineering and design. And actually, I did not start my career in healthcare. I started within consumer products at Procter & Gamble, launching new-to-market products globally. And there, I really learned to focus deeply on customers and users and learned all different ways to engage with customers and design products from a consumer-first perspective. And then I actually transitioned over to design and digital innovation. I went back to grad school, kind of changed things around for me, and then went to a digital ventures group run by Boston Consulting Group. And there I was able to focus on uncovering new areas of opportunity with a lot of large Fortune 500 companies. And there, that's when I actually was attracted to healthcare. I had the opportunity to work on a lot of great healthcare ventures. And there, I realized that healthcare is, you know, really interesting and exciting. It's very complex, which definitely scratched my engineering itch that I had. And I also learned that there's no shortage of problems to solve and some digital user experiences that could really use some help and improving upon, especially compared to other industries. And so I had the opportunity to build a solution from the ground up there and transition over to Siemens Healthcare. And from there, that kind of led me to working with healthcare institutions to be able to pilot and build products. And so the opportunity came around for this position at Stanford Children's, which brought together kind of the digital innovation and perspective with the opportunity to work within a healthcare organization to really impact change, which is super exciting. And so that's kind of my career journey. And now a lot of my focus is actually in the ambulatory setting around digital health, specifically a lot around telehealth and really improving workflows, patient and user experiences, as well as support and staffing models around telehealth, as well as a bunch of other different, all the different digital health modalities and care models.
Well, that's fantastic. What are the most exciting trends in digital health today?
So a lot of the trends, I would say, in digital health are very much because of COVID and COVID as a catalyst to kind of normalize telehealth and digital health-based services. And so now telehealth is becoming and has become, and I think it's here to stay, a primary modality of care. And so the pandemic definitely accelerated the adoption of telehealth. You know, at Stanford Children's specifically, we were seeing 10 to 20 patients per day up until February of 2020. And now we're seeing upwards of 700 to 900 patients per day, which is crazy. It's over, you know, 3,000% increase versus before the pandemic. And so I think that's here to stay. You know, we anticipate we'll be keeping those numbers, you know, somewhere between 30 and 40% of our visits right now are telehealth visits. And we're seeing some great benefits because of it. And then I think similarly, another trend is the adoption of, you know, general digital health services and platforms, remote monitoring, for example, which is a great opportunity. You know, we're able to keep people out of hospitals and clinics, but they don't have to be there and monitor them at home where they're more comfortable. And I think, you know, the pandemic facilitated a lot of people trying things and gaining trust with these systems and the use of these tools. You know, they're becoming more standard and widely adopted. And I think also technology is getting better, you know, 5G access and mobile computing speeds and sensor technology are all really improving. And so we have a couple of programs at Stanford Children's. One is a fetal heart rate monitor, Puffin, that's able to track and monitor the fetus during complicated pregnancies, which is great. We can keep those patients at home. Also, a diabetes digital health program with new diabetes patients that's able to use remote monitoring, and it alternates in-person and virtual visits. And so another interesting tidbit is also that coverage, you know, being able to get coverage for these services seems to be it's going to stay after the pandemic is over. These services are going to be covered, it's looking like, which is really positive.
That's really interesting to think about, looking at how the digital health has accelerated during the pandemic. And as you mentioned, looking at making more of that coverage formalized in the future. Given those trends, how do you anticipate digital health will evolve in the next decade or so?
Yeah, I think one interesting thing is to think about how digital health and telehealth services and where they fit in as part of a patient journey, as a modality of care now. And so really determining where digital health is the most appropriate form of healthcare delivery. Is it diagnosis, treatment, post-care? Does it have to do with what condition the patient is trying to address and what the provider's preferences are? And I think, you know, there's work being done to kind of decipher and define what types of visits can and should move forward virtually, and also considering clinical appropriateness, patient and provider preferences, all needs to be considered as, you know, deciding on what that patient journey looks like. I think also moving to a more, and this is some work that we're doing now, a centralized virtual model. So instead of visits being tied to a physical clinic location, having them be truly virtual. And so having services to support the patients and providers in their digital health experiences that are also virtual, where they aren't beholden to a location, is really interesting. And so we're actually exploring that idea of a virtual clinic support model within Stanford Children's, with the goal to be able to support both caregivers and patient families while dealing with all the workflows and improving the workflows that have been developed at a rapid clip because of the COVID pandemic. There's also, I think, I'm really excited personally about just having a more patient-focused digital health solutions and experiences. You know, every other industry is really providing these personal, intuitive, sticky user experiences. And so I think patients and as consumers, their bar is getting higher and higher. Because they're demanding it. They're getting these really great experiences everywhere else. So I think just continued focus and improvement in this area is really exciting, especially personally for me. There's also probably less interesting to some people, but I think patient-generated data and having that integrate into the core data platform. So being able to utilize machine learning, for example, to automate the management of common conditions based on real-time data and analytics. And so this would make it easier for clinicians to focus on more complex cases and have improved workflows for them, so they're not having to go into all the data and mine it, but then also pairing that with digital tools to be able to provide really seamless patient experiences again through that would be awesome. And then I think going back to just measuring quality care in the ambulatory setting, it's always been a challenge, but I think the next step is to determine what metrics will follow and what's the most important to providing, you know, that optimal telehealth experience and how we can measure that and make sure, you know, we're able to deliver.
Absolutely. So it sounds like there's a lot of exciting things going on and happening in virtual care and digital health right now. What makes you nervous on the other side of things?
A few things. It's kind of the flip side of the coin. So I think patients and consumers are preferring to receive care based on convenience and access outside of the clinic at local retailers. You know, they don't have to go necessarily to their primary care provider anymore to get the care that they want and need. And it's very convenient for them. And, you know, I think that also gives access to small practices and single doctors that are easily able to, you know, have the access to plug and play solutions, which really kind of levels the playing field for them. And so my worry is that while there's this convenience for patients to be able to have access to their care, there's an impact to the continuity of care. You want people to have access to healthcare as easily as possible, but not at the expense of their care. And so this is especially relevant for pediatrics. Unlike an adult, like the medical home is very important to have primary care provider consistency. So that is a concern. And how do we address that? And how do we provide those really convenient experiences outside of the clinic where the patients, you know, want and need need access to those services. Healthcare equity is a really big one, you know, really ensuring everybody has the ability to access care services. We're already seeing disparities and potential consequences of the digital divide, you know, potentially making things worse by those that are not able to access care that need it most. So that's a big area of concern that we're hoping to address. And I think also because of the rate of change, really helping, you know, the organization to navigate this increasingly complex space. So this is kind of an exercise in change management. You know, the technology is developing so quickly, you know, we're constantly having to retrain providers and staff to accommodate and also embrace new ways of care. I actually just saw an email come through from Mobi Health News that there was $7 billion invested in the first quarter, specifically for digital health of this past year. So there's a lot of funds out there and we have to keep up with that. And so that, you know, also means changing workflows, staying educated and making folks excited about the opportunities that digital health can provide and not simply making it, you know, a lift in trying to change the way, you know, they're practicing, but as an opportunity. And then another area is working at children's health, making pediatrics not left out of the digital health conversation. So that can go down to telehealth reimbursement. You know, a lot of our reimbursement comes from Medicaid, which is state level. There's also the technical aspects. So adolescents, for example, and setting up systems for privacy versus information sharing and, you know, letting them have the ability to conduct visits on their own makes things a little more complicated. And then there's also the Cures Act, making health information available, which is great, but it's also proving challenges with both children and adolescents because we have to provide proxy access and separate out, you know, state confidential based data from those digital user experiences. And then a lot of the products and services for pediatrics, there's not a lot of focus on it necessarily. So I think right now about 8% of investments are being made specifically for pediatrics, whereas, you know, 18 under population is 25% of the population, but 100% of us are all kids at some point. So, you know, it's, and we have, you know, we have this connected care platform right now where we're utilizing, for cardiac based patients, and we can't even get a scale that integrates because we need a pediatric specific scale, and we can't. There isn't one on the market right now, so just having products and services specifically for pediatrics would be great. I feel like I'm talking a lot, and my last point also is, you know, just engaging all of the stakeholders in the conversation to be able to deliver on user experiences. And so this is going back to the consumerization of healthcare with consumers' expectations to have these awesome user experiences. And so I think this is relevant for both patients and clinicians. So on the staff and clinic side, you know, we need to give everybody a seat at the design table, you know, physicians, nurses, IS, HR. It's just really hard because everybody's very busy. And so what's the most productive way to allow that feedback to happen, knowing that it might take, they're taking their time, might take away time from the bedside. And then also obtaining the voice of the patient. It's, you know, not just about engaging those that are digital health champions and those that are already highly engaged in their healthcare, but really the gamut of the patient spectrum and really understanding, you know, all of the pain points and latent and unmet needs for everybody, not just the people that are already engaged and are the champions. And so trying to put together a lot of work around that as well.
Those are some great points, Erin. Thank you so much for laying out so many different aspects of the healthcare, especially as it relates to care for children and pediatric care. It just is so interesting to think about some of the challenges evolving around those areas and especially in pediatrics. Now, before we wrap up our conversation, I was wondering if you could share three pieces of advice for emerging leaders today.
Sure. So I think one, and all of us are hyper aware of this because of the pandemic, and something that I've come to realize, I would say you know, becoming an emerging leader, you feel like you always have to do a lot of work. You know, there's so much work and you kind of want to, you want to grow and be successful, but it's not okay to always have to feel like you're on all the time. And so just giving yourself the mental space is really great for, I think, your health, but also allows other ideas and really good work to happen. When you're not always sitting in front of the computer, answering the emails, you know, having a balance and doing the things that matter, I think are really important and makes you more present both at work and in personal life. The second one, a little more work specific, I think collaborating and really truly listening to all stakeholders is really important. So, for example, utilizing leadership as a thought partner and not just as, you know, part of a reporting structure, utilizing other job functions and individuals and their expertise for their perspectives and really understanding all the stakeholders' needs and trying to bring everybody together to see all those different angles and perspectives to be able to problem solve. And really that gives everybody a hand in building and championing whatever solutions and projects you're trying to deliver on. And then lastly, I would say more career-wise, just speaking from my own personal background, you know, it's really okay to have a plan for where you think you're going to go, but don't be afraid to explore some opportunities that might be unexpected that come up along the way, even if it's outside of the industry that you thought you were going to pursue or work in or your primary job function. You know, I never thought I would be outside of the design and the design realm specifically, but now I have a more general role and I love it. And I think with that, you know, don't underestimate what matters most for your happiness. So I've also come to realize that the mission of a company that I work for is really important. And so at Stanford Children's, coming to work every day is really easy. Being able to see exactly who I'm helping and benefiting on a day-to-day basis is just so obvious and clear. And so that, you know, for some people that might matter a lot. So figure out what makes you happy, what drives you, and try to focus on finding a career that lets you kind of be really satisfied.
Erin, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been a really great discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you in the future.
Great. Thank you so much.